How is it possible that they imprison a man who is cleaning the streets of Horl of all those people? They should leave him free. Criminals flee and sinners hide because I'm coming to town. God gave me the commandment. It's time to shave my head, put on my white t-shirt, a smile, and then they'll call me Mr. Clean as I cleanse the streets.
I didn't see you there.
It all started early this morning.
From hunting ghosts to Bigfoot, UFOs, cryptids, true crime, paranormal, and more.
I've always wanted to see a UFO.
Oh, I was researching for your entertainment.
That's Bigfoot's guess.
He basically wrote the book on modern cult.
We aren't really comedians.
What if Buddha did cocaine?
The Addams Family on meth.
This is the Black Cat Report. See you on the other side.
Welcome to the Black Cat Report in episode 97. I am Joey, and with me is, with no introduction, Gil.
Did you want me, last time you said no introduction.
And with me is Gil.
Hello, everybody.
Perfect. I think what I meant to say, with no performatives, no adjectives, no, it's not how it came across, no?
Mm-mm. Quite literally, well, you said, with me, with no introduction, is Gil.
Perfect. Yeah. I guess I shouldn't introduce you then. Well, I'm Joey, and I'm the only one on this podcast today. Only kidding. Before we get into our topic, we want to give a huge shout out to Interscare for including us in his show on YouTube Live. We freaking enjoyed it and couldn't be more happier to know you and your family.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on last week. It was an absolute blast, and we'll be figuring out a way to sneak you into Black Cat Report at some point in the near future.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait to do that. And Gil, I don't know if you want to take it over and kind of give our next episode for B3 and give an introduction for it, or you want me to?
I've got it. Yeah, so our next episode of Beer, Booze, and Boogeymen is going to be on Saturday, June 1st. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be a night of mayhem and debauchery. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a game for callers and for hosts to participate in, so all of us get to play. And basically, the rules are simple. You call in and you tell us a tale. It could be a tall tale, it could be a complete and total lie, or it could be the truth. It has to be something incredible that's happened in your life, something that you're aware of, some fantastical story, right? You call in, we all get to hear your story. We might ask you a few questions here or there, and then we open up the polls. We allow folks to vote on it, on whether or not we think you're telling truth, or we think you're telling trash. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, y'all definitely aren't going to want to miss this one, and we made it really easy to remember. All you have to do, at the very, very top of the show description, wherever the heck you're listening to this podcast, there's going to be a link. It's going to say Beer, Booze, and Boogeyman with a little finger emoji pointing to the link. Click that link. It'll take you straight to where the YouTube live stream will be. You could just click notify right on that little stream right there. So I know we're telling you this early. It's like a month ahead of time. It's a super easy way to remember. And yeah, if you don't have a great tale, then get writing.
Heck yeah, can't wait for it. Also, you can give us your tall tales and your short tales, like either or. We take either or. I mean, but just make sure your tales don't actually part truth and part false, because then they're just both and we can't play a game that way, right, Go?
Talking about mid-tales. Mid-tales could work. I'm going to have to work on the game rules a little bit.
Okay.
In the meantime. I mean, but yeah.
We got a month. We got a little
just
more.
Just lie to us. Just lie to us. That's all we want. Just lie to us. Try to trick all of us. Try to trick your favorite hosts. Try to get us to crack. Like, really get us to buy in and believe complete bullshit. And have a laugh on us. Or maybe we'll pull through and we'll surprise you. And you'd be like, oh shit, now I have to second guess all this other shit I've heard on their show over the past 2 years.
Like, yeah. Gil's actual third nickname that he's been given is the human lie detector test.
Yes.
So he is very good at being, he's been nicknamed that by friends, police, politicians, UFO nerds, UFO members, UFO people.
Nerdy UFOs.
Everybody.
Yeah, no, everybody. It's made embroidery with my initials, like, incredibly pricey.
Well, today, everybody, you know, I talked on last episode, you know, that I did the episode 4, the moon episode, that I was just, I needed a break from, you know, conspiracy theories. Gil saw me pulling out my hair during that episode. Almost after Same the episode, it. I was almost bald, just like our Mr. Clean. Today we're going to delve into something that's more in my wheelhouse. And this shouldn't say that much about me, that the episode is going to be about a serial killer. But today we're going to delve into El Apostle de la Muerte, Pedro Pablo Macias Ludinha, the Apostle of Death, which is in English.
Okay, I thought translated from Spanish or Italian. Is that Spanish?
It's Spanish, yes.
Okay, I thought translated from Peru. Spanish, it was the murderer of pasta. And I was like, there's my fourth nickname. But
dude,
yeah.
Yes, that is also going to be your fourth nickname now. Yes, the murderer of pasta. Well, for the sources for today's episode will be listed in the show notes. So let's go ahead and dive in, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Pedro was born in El Agostino, Peru, which is a bigger part of the city of Lima, on February 28, 1973. He is a Pisces. I don't know why I put that in there, but every time I get a serial killer, I just like to give, you know, people out there love to have the signs out there, you know, for who they are, right?
It's true.
Well, not to be confused with the other Pedro we did an episode about not that long ago, Pedro Lopez, the monster of the Andes. Pedro Ludinha was a monster unto himself, not killing just for pleasure, for what he felt was his duty. Like with most serial killers, we must get into the history of his parents, right? Like normal, we always do this. His father was an alcoholic and was abusive towards Pedro's mom. And I don't want to extrapolate here, but most of the time, that abuse kind of spills over to the children as well. I'm not saying it always happens, but sometimes it happens.
Hmm.
And it did. It did in this case, obviously. Pedro's mom had an undisclosed mental illness as well, which they also never mentioned what she actually had, but she and the dad actually passed away before they could interview them for anything and maybe find out what was going on with them. But
okay.
It's just, you know, is most everything that we get is from Pedro himself. So I just want to preface this before the intro of the everything. We get
super
it from Pedro and the police.
Yeah, super trustworthy on both sides, super accurate. Yeah. There is no ulterior motives. This is exactly like if you had a time machine, this is what you would see. That's what I just
exactly.
heard.
But we do know what Pedro and his brother's illness was, because it was after they went to trial, they diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia, which was one of the things that him and his brother had. And so if I want to say that's kind of like most likely what his mom had, because that is also a family history, mm-hmm. genetic kind of thing that passes down. My grandmother had that, and supposedly, you know, well, we won't go into it. We'll just stop there anyways. But
is this why you only ever record from inside of a bank safe?
I'm pretty safe there. So, yes, I'm surrounded by gold, right?
The audience can't see, but it is literally tens of thousands of toilet paper rolls around him right now.
During COVID, that was gold. gold.
How come? Your first reaction, defend it.
Yeah, yes. Well, let's get into the next part of it. Before I bring up the rest of his childhood, I want to say, and we kind of preface this because, you know, we talk about people's, you know, serial killers' histories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that people with abusive backgrounds don't always turn out like this serial killer, nor do all paranoid schizophrenics turn out to be killers.
Sometimes they just start paranormal podcasts.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it's important to remind people of that, because it's definitely not the only reason that Pedro became a murderer. And as we describe people in our serial killer series and add into them their mental illness or past trauma or things like that, many people rise above those every day, become great people and great members of society in their own right. So we here at Black Cat Report want to get rid of that stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one quote that Pedro said to the police after his capture about growing up: "My family is bad.
Mm.
My parents always fought. My dad hit my mom a lot. I was running away from the house, but I came back because I had nowhere to eat."
What year was this? I don't want to take this too far, but I'm just curious.
When he got arrested?
No, around the time that he was growing up.
He was born in 73, so he was probably growing up in between 80 to 90.
So this was...
In Peru.
Yeah, this was the same horribly fucked up time as Pedro Alonso Lopez.
Yes, sir. Just in another country.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, but like, it's... Damn. Yeah, so when he may have had a very, very, very fucked up childhood, you know, like home life, I should say. He may have had a very fucked up home life, and it still was better than just being out on the streets. Like,
yeah. Well, a lot of this childhood trauma would mark all of his early years. Thinking about trying to escape, but you just can't because you can't survive anywhere else. And I think we talked about that in the Pedro Lopez series, is like he basically ended up having to leave because he couldn't deal with it anymore. You know, went on the streets as a kid. Well, Pedro mentioned that he had one of the worst traumas when he was super young. He was 4 years old. He mentioned to police that he was assaulted and raped by his brothers.
Ooh.
Because he had killed and mutilated a dog the family had owned.
That's
4 years old.
That's not a legitimate reason to assault and rape someone. I mean,
no, it's not at all.
Killing, you know, murdering a dog, abusing a dog, that's totally a legitimate reason to assault somebody. Like, beat the fucking shit out of them, obviously.
Yeah.
But the R part of it, that's where it's like, what? You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Something smells fishy about these brothers.
Right. What made it worse was that the dog was pregnant. And I think that's why they also went even more haywire on him. And this is between his brothers and sisters doing all this to him. And so it's super interesting to see how he said this after he was arrested. So again, you're looking back on him going, okay, do you think this is true?
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
If it is true, it's horrible. And so horrible. 4 years old. That is just... Yeah, it's rough. Any year is rough. And before 4 years old, you know nothing. You know, there's still a baby.
I'm going to take it back a little bit. There's a lot going on here.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot going on here, and nothing is just the 1 + 1 = 2. Like, there's good Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and as time went on, he talked to the police. Later, he mentioned that this was one of the driving factors for him to start his murder spree. His abuse by his family wouldn't stop there. He was consistently mocked and made to play dress-up like a girl by his sisters, which was like, this is like a harmless, funny game, you know, but this might have been the end of his world, you know? Who doesn't have sisters that play dress-up, you know, dress their little brothers up or put makeup on them when they're young? But still, I don't want to minimize the trauma that this could have caused him, you know?
I think it'd be good to, like, pull it back to, like, there's things that influence the monster, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a terribly bad and stormy day, you know, the prince waiting to save the princess is stuck inside waiting for the rain to stop, the same as the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same things can affect people's decisions, but it's their character that, you know, these things add up and they influence the flavor of the monster, and like in terms of like how they become, because
agreed.
None of these things, even in whole, are like make you a serial killer. That shit's inherent.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Somebody was already on that path, like on that trajectory, and it was what they learned and what they experienced that just kind of like set the dials, you know.
Well, and you can say it too, is like I think there is more people more predisposed to being serial killers than normal, but they get some, if they don't get pushed into that direction, they might not become serial killers, they might become podcasters, they might become politicians, stuff like that. So, you know, it's just everything.
Yeah. I'm so excited for that fusion restaurant, the serial killer podcast politician restaurant. There's a difference between, like, causing somebody to become a serial killer and influencing the person who is a serial killer. You know, a great chef.
I really agree.
An incredible, you know, 5-star chef in Thailand would have probably also become a 5-star chef if they were raised in Mexico. if they were raised in Arizona, if they were raised in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's that inherent drive in them and how they choose to take those ingredients in their drive and work from there on, you know, that's the human element.
Yeah, I understand that completely. That makes a lot of sense. Well, he also had another big trauma when he was young.
Hit in the head.
During his young years, his father passed away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which this devastated him because his father, even though he was abusive, he still helped shoo away his brothers and sisters from abusing Pedro mentally and physically, right? It's such a weird thing. The father was just like, hey, don't mess with your brother. Don't mess with your brother. He's he's young. He's like,
where'd you learn that from?
Yeah, where'd you learn that from? Well, you know, throughout his teens, he moved on from killing dogs to killing other animals. So it's kind of, when I look at, you know, him saying that he didn't kill the dog, he didn't do a thing to the dog, and then he goes on into killing animals, I'm just kind of like, but did you, come on, man.
Did you?
Well, yeah. He started to take great pleasure in murdering cows, horses, bulls, like huge things. He said it wasn't just killing them that gave him pleasure. It was watching them suffer as they died that he really enjoyed. And that was his big thing. Serial killer 101, killing animals.
Well, that's that inherent. That's the first murder that a human can get away with, you know, and that nobody is judging them for, especially like depending on the situation. Like you had Joachim Kroll, who was working out on farms and like slaughtering animals and loved it. He was full-on fucking boner the whole goddamn time, you know, as he was like slaughtering fucking like, what was it, like pigs and cows and shit. And it's their first, they're allowed to do that and get away with that in society.
Yeah.
So.
And even lauded for it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
because
you straight up
people
get
are
employed.
Eating it, you know?
You straight up get employed doing it, you know? Yep. But that's also the human reaction. Like, that's where it's different with the serial killer, that reaction. Most folks feel remorse. They feel guilt. They have to develop a sense of like necessity, or like, you know, like they have to take on that pain as a source of like, I hate doing this, but I have a sense of pride because it feeds my family. It feeds my community. It's, you know, it's da-da-da-da-da. Like we have to develop these ways of coping with that kind of shit because human beings, when they're right in their head, don't enjoy killing.
No, like, they don't find pleasure in it.
Not
yeah, there's
at
no
all.
Pleasure in it. Yeah. No. Well, moving on to when he was about 17 or 18. So this is pretty much his whole childhood. He was just getting abused. His father passed away, all that stuff. So moving on, he's almost an adult, you know, in the eyes of the law, right? Pedro said that he joined the Peruvian Air Force as a mechanic. And this has been, it's kind of been back and forth in the news and in the articles that I was looking at, saying that they don't think he joined the military. They said it was false. But in his later career, he becomes a car mechanic. So I'm just kind of like, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. You know, it's his narrative, you know, so it's kind of, we're kind of trying to pull out the truth where we can.
Yeah.
Well, this would be around 1990 or so. So within 2 months of being in the military, he gets kicked out because they diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia and psychopathic tendencies. So they saw it quick.
Damn.
Yeah. He's around guns all the time. He's, you know, taking care of cars that have guns on top of them. They're kind of like, we can't have you in this area because we're afraid that you're going to shoot one of your fellow soldiers, kill them, or go kill civilians, you know? Well, after this, he went into a deep depression after being rejected by the military, and he didn't take going back into the real world well.
Bro, it was only 2 months. Sorry, I'm just, he's just, how can I ever go back to my previous life? And it's just like,
dude,
you've been gone for less than 60 days. I don't know what the fuck. I can't even remember how to use forks anymore. You know?
Well, it's funny too. It's 2 months, but like, just like when he was killing cows and not, you know, and not really being lauded for it, but still nobody was batting an eye. I think he found the place that he was like, I can kill people, and they'll be like, good job.
He found purpose and pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Purpose and pleasure. Well, just after being rejected from the military, he claimed to have killed his first human victim, right? So okay. The reason he gave for killing the person was that he saw them stealing a watermelon from a fruit cart.
I mean, that's all. That's understandable.
Do you like watermelons that much that you're okay with murder?
I just really respect fruit carts.
This reminds me of Frank Oldfield shooting the guy in the back after he stole from the fruit stand. Literally just like for no reason at all. I like to bring him up because he's just... The line between criminal and law enforcement officer is, in some ways, is such a fine line.
Joey, that's the only reason why, you know, we started the show is I was slowly trying to get you to realize that.
No, it's super funny. And just researching all these stories and these the history, you know, you're just like, sometimes, you know, and obviously sometimes you can be like, okay, that he's helping people or she's helping
there's
people.
There's justification
this, area, but,
sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, at least yeah. to the extent that we can find the information. But, you know, sometimes it's a little bit weird to protect a dude so that you can kill a dude and you'll kill other dudes if they try to kill the dude that you're going to kill.
Like it's, yeah. What it's, the fuck? It's a whole messed up pasta of, yeah. of, you know.
It's a murder pasta. Yeah.
It's a murder pasta, right? So this would start to be one of his reasons for killing in the future, just because the guy was stealing. No joke.
Fruit-related crimes.
Only fruit-related crimes are going to be from here on out. Well, let's fast forward another few years. 13, in fact, right? To 2003. So we're just moving through these things because there's really no history. So 2003, Pedro is about 30 years old.
Okay.
He decides it's time to change his name. Gil, do you want to try to guess what he changed his name to?
I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I'm in Pedro's head. It's a dark place, although the walls are all painted in red. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, my name's Pedro. I'm looking around. I'm probably living in like a studio apartment. There's probably dead animal corpses on the ground next to me. What could I possibly, you know, it's the dirty 30. You got to do something, you know, at your dirty
30. Something big, something
big. It is the most important, you know, fucking birthday of anyone's life, alive or dead. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, what does he do? What does he do? He's looking at his pasta. He's looking at his gun. He's looking at his pasta. He's looking at his gun. He's looking over at his dirty dishes. Then he sees a cleaning solution.
Ooh.
And he's like, that guy right there, he knows how to bald gracefully as he's rubbing the back of his head that's going bald. He shaves his fucking head. Reaches out to Procter & Gamble, which I'm assuming owns Mr. Clean. I don't know, but I feel like that's a safe
P&G.
Guess.
P&G.
Yeah.
Good guess.
Procter & Gamble. He reaches out to them and he says, hey, y'all need a mascot? They say no. We heard about what happened in the Air Force. He says, too bad, bitch. I'm already representing you. Walks outside with a gun and a paper bag. Shoots the first kid he sees that shorted the ice cream man. That's but and Mr. Clean.
And what's his name? Oh, his name. No, well,
he changed it. Oh, that... or he changed it to Peter, which would have just been weird.
Well, he didn't even do that much, right?
Mm.
So he changes his full name, which was Pedro Pablo Macias Ludinha.
Dope name.
To Pedro Pablo Nakata Ludinha.
Mm.
Because he wants to go and live in Japan.
Okay, I feel like the second middle name wouldn't have been my first choice, but. Hey,
no,
that makes me feel better because I can't understand the inner workings of this serial killer.
I don't understand it either. Well, there is a point. I think there is a little bit of a point to this because he paid. I'll get into why there's a point.
Mm-hmm.
He paid a Japanese citizen 800 Peruvian soles to adopt him so he could change his name and then become a citizen of Japan so that he could immigrate
okay.
and live there.
Okay.
I want to say this isn't because he loves Japan, and he thinks he'd be right at home here. It was most likely because this is also a common tactic used by Peruvian criminals to escape justice and flee the country. A lot of them go change their name, get adopted by someone. It's such a weird thing to do, but a lot of them do it.
I like to think there's just like, there's just some like Japanese, like foreign, like, you know, expat. Like Japanese expat, like
yeah.
Reddit somewhere where they're just like, dude, it's super easy to make a living in Peru. All you got to do is tell people you're Japanese. They will just start giving you money. And like,
we're not even actually fucking married, yo. I've 457 kids. These motherfuckers leave state welfare, baby. Like, I am making bank, and you can too. And, like, you know,
you don't
American
even
style.
Have to adopt them. You don't even have to adopt them.
You think they're going to be able to afford a plane flight back from Japan when they realize they can't get
stuck.
In? No.
No, they're going to Korea.
They're going to Middle Korea. They're going to East Korea. Nobody talks about that. But like, no. But there's just like border crisis in Japan, and it's just like 40,000 Peruvians that are confused. Like, God damn it!
Like, they're just standing on the shore of Japan, being like, "We can't come in."
God damn it!
Well, even though he changed his name, he wasn't going to be the first of his family to go abroad. He had a brother that we'll talk about later that would be the first of his family to go abroad and make a name for himself. But we'll keep that at that for now.
Okay.
Now, I found a source that had a transcript of Pedro's police confessions, and he noted that he was married and had three sons. So I imagine sometime in between 2000 to 2005, he got married and had children. There's no record of this that I can find that anybody that is researching into this can find. And if you can find it, send it to us at contact@blackcat.report. And Gil is apparently sending this to me because he found it right now. He's just literally not even looking at the screen.
This is how easy the email is to use.
You've got mail.
I'm not actually doing it. But I'm assuming that
he just
the
looks like he's doing it.
I'm assuming that the kids' names were Shout, OxyClean, and Ajax. Is that right?
I think that's close. It doesn't mention, and I think that they probably changed their names so they weren't identified with this guy, but most of the serial killers' families do. Well, he wanted to provide for his family, and he got a job at a mechanic shop, kind of just like we described earlier when he was a mechanic in the Air Force.
Is he in Japan?
No, he did not make it to Japan.
He
didn't even make it out of his home area.
Okay.
He still hasn't left. The mechanic shop was in the residential area of Joro, Peru, which is in Lima. Uh-huh. It's like right on like a little city outside of Lima.
Okay.
And it was there that he would hatch his plan to cleanse the streets.
Because, I mean, if I'm in that position in life, that's what I'm thinking is I'm like, this has nothing to do with me, my decisions, and my untreated mental illness. This has everything to do with a lot of folks who I have never associated with.
Exactly. Yes. Mm. Well,
solid.
Solid, right? So Pedro started hearing commandments from, in quotations, God.
Mm.
Something along the lines of what you would hear in the Joseph Callinger delusion story. And I think if, Gil, do you not know about Joseph Callinger?
Not at all. Refresh me.
Oh, well, Joseph Callinger was called the shoemaker, right? And he was the killer. He killed 3-4 people, I think.
Oh, the dude that was digging the giant hole in the house with his kids?
And shitting in it? Yes, that guy.
Yes, okay, yes, I do know. Sorry.
Joseph Callinger was also a schizophrenic, and he heard commandments from God to kill everyone on Earth.
Yeah.
Pedro's commandment was not so lofty, right? In his own words, he said,
half of them.
Honestly, it probably is half of them if we're going to decide what it's kind of like this. Well,
I'm not going to be crazy like these other ones. I know you can't kill everyone, which is why just going to get half. It's half off, baby.
I actually think that's kind of close to what the commandment was. So in Pedro's own words, it was, I am not a criminal. I am a cleaner. Hence the Mr. Clean. I have rid society of homosexuals and vagrants. I'm just trying to purify the earth of prostitutes, drug addicts, homosexuals, and robbers. End quote.
You realize this sounds like a poorly translated version of the Nixon tapes when he was getting exposed for Watergate, right?
Yes.
I'm not a crook. I've been blah, blah, blah. He was just...
And it's funny
there
that
was
you
just
used
a,
it before.
There was just a radio playing that was like fucking 30 years behind. And it was poorly...
Yeah.
It was poorly translated.
Yeah, that's God exactly... what his command was.
I'm not a crook.
starting off with, I am not a criminal. And this is what he said after he's been arrested, already being like, you're a criminal.
I know you are, but what am I?
I'm the police.
I am all police.
Yeah, we can say that you are a criminal.
I know you are, but what am I?
So you're under arrest. It doesn't matter. We're not going to talk to you anymore. Throw him in jail.
Well, on January 1st, 2005, moving ahead a few years, he started his murder spree, which is what he can claim and police have claimed as his murder spree. That would claim 17 victims in less than 2 years.
Damn.
Yeah, he was moving quick.
Dude, that's more than one every... That's more than one every 2 months. Like, that's like...
It gets worse because I'll describe why.
16 of them were in one day. Like, yeah.
Almost, actually.
Oh, fuck.
His first victim was Carlos Alberto Marina Aguilar, who was 26, and he was killed by 2 gunshots, one in the thorax and the other bullet right through the abdomen, and then he bled out. This was right on the Chorrito de Chanque Beach, which is pretty wide open in the area, right?
Yeah.
But it's pretty open, so he gets away with this, right?
Was this in like the middle of the day or at night or like?
It was at 6 p.m.
Oh, so this is like straight up like afternoon on the beach, which is like,
yeah,
for locals, the best fucking time to go to the beach. Like,
right?
Damn. Okay.
Pedro claimed this murder was part of his plan and said that he felt Carlos was going to rob him. In Pedro's brain, this person was a robber. But the irony here is Pedro then proceeded to take Carlos's money and wallet.
Pedro could have been a cop.
Yeah.
Pedro could have been a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to become a cop?
Mm-mm.
Oh, damn.
Sadly, no.
Fuck.
He gets caught too quick.
We're going to find a serial killer that does this shit and then becomes a cop. But anyways.
After this murder, Pedro took a bit of a break. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe shocked at what he had done and maybe trying to lie low a bit so he wouldn't be found by the cops. I think that's probably more about...
Kind of a, not quite a walkabout, more like a stalkabout.
Yeah. Yes. Well, he didn't murder for about a year and 4 months. This is why I say 17 and... 2 years,
mm-hmm.
technically, it's like 16 in like 6 months almost.
Shit. So at this point, he's killed 2 people so far. He killed that first person.
He's claimed to kill 2 people. They never found that first person, but he claimed that he killed that first person.
Yeah. So he's killed a pregnant dog and 2 people.
Yes.
At least.
And a bunch of cows and
horses
and, you know, and bulls.
I mean, this is basically just the montage training scene from any action movie in the most fucked up way possible.
Very true. And I mean, he's, you know, this is his warm up, right?
Mm.
Well, it's not really known whether he committed any other crimes during that time, that year and 4 months.
Okay.
But it seems so because of the way his other murders went down, right?
He comes back advanced as fuck, doesn't he?
He comes back advanced as fuck. And with his a new MO, right?
Mm.
So he shot this guy twice and in the chest, right? So basically from the chin down, these 2 shots were in. The chin to like the bottom of his sternum.
He's changed his name now during this brief time. This is what I'm hearing.
Again.
He's changed his name now from Pedro being his first name in Spanish in Peru to Mexican Spanish. As Pedro. He's totally a new man.
Yeah, he's a new man.
New man.
Well, his next murder was a 50-year-old woman. This is a year and 4 months later, right? So his next murder was a 50-year-old woman named Teresa Katrina Abed. He passed by her as she was smoking a cigarette, and he thought it was drugs. Mm. So he shot her 2 times in the head.
Cigarettes are drugs.
Well, I mean, he thought it was weed. He thought it was... whatever else he thought.
I'm just saying he kind of followed every DARE commercial.
The DARE commercial is correct. Murder them if they're smoking.
Yeah.
I think that's what I remember.
Just
from
the fucking DARE line comes up, gives them a thumbs up, and then starts eating the fucking corpse on the street.
That is DARE to a T, honestly. That's what I remember. Well, before I get into the next murders, right, I want to say... this literally doesn't sound like he is following what God told him to do. With the first murder,
He literally became the robber.
He literally became the robber of the person that he was saying was going to rob him.
I'm sorry, but like, I'm not saying it's bad if you, I'm not saying you should be embarrassed if you get robbed on a beach. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you should 100% be embarrassed by, do not go to the police, do not let this go public, especially if you're in Florida, because we'll all know about that shit in like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you get robbed by a dude in a Speedo on a beach, like it, you didn't try. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? And now if you're like the dude in the Speedo on the beach and somebody comes up in like non-beach clothes and is like, give me all your shit. And you're like, where am I going to put that? You know, like, again, the beach is such an awkward place to crime. You know, honestly, unless
you're just stealing
public,
real quick.
You know, unless, you know what I'm saying? You're getting down, you know what I'm saying? And like, you're doing some shit on the beach. That's kind of the only crime that happens on the beach.
Or in the water. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, people's stuff does get stolen, though. I mean, you know, that happens a bit. Yeah, but that's like if you leave your stuff on the beach by your bag, you go out to swim, and then people come and take your stuff.
But if you're fully aware somebody's a thief, it's on you to walk away. I don't know why I'm trying to argue. This dude has a lot of other issues. He's already murdered somebody.
Don't help this guy. Don't help this guy.
I'm not. I'm just like trying to argue against his logic. And I'm like, why am I doing this? That's silly. Yeah. This guy probably in a Speedo on the beach, just fucking chilling, sunbathing, doing, you know, beach shit. He's just sitting over there on the side. He's like, he's totally going to fucking rob me. Jesus Christ. Did you see the way he just turned? Did you see the way he just turned? He's just like talking to a seagull.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of that could be just a schizophrenia brain.
I think 100% of it is.
Yeah. It's being like God in this voice is telling him like, that guy's going to rob you. That guy's going to rob you. That guy's going to rob you.
Yeah.
And that guy was literally probably just walking down the walkway, down the pier. You
just
know,
like,
and this guy's
eating, eating cotton candy with his like 12-year-old daughter, and they're just like jitterbug.
Yeah, just that
jitterbug. You put the boom boom into my heart, boom boom. Yeah, and they're just like, ah, 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 and he's like this fucking thief. And the whole time, I do like to picture God as the seagull next to him as he's creeping on this guy,
talking to
and
them.
He's just like, he's gonna kill you. Give me a French fry. And he's just like, yeah, he's going to fucking kill me. He's going to rob you. Another French fry. Yeah, no, he's totally going to rob me. He's like, he's going to get me another French fry. He's not going to give you another French fry. Those are my French fries to give you.
Those are mine.
Another French fry. And there's like 15, or honestly, it's at the beach, 45 other seagulls come up. And he's like, oh my God, there are more gods than I thought there were. I've given this dude 47 voices so far, but they all work.
It's fine. He's, you know, he probably has 47 voices in his head right now telling him to do stuff.
So we have Seagull God talking to him, telling him to,
yes.
And then we fast forward from there. Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, his second murder, she was just smoking a cigarette. So
he
got bothered by that and then shot her. Now, I'm not going to go through all 17 of his proven murders, but I want to quickly go through a few of them just so we can understand where his mind is at as far as his mission as the, in quotations, the cleaner, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, fast forward, his 8th, 9th, and 10th murder happened on November 22nd, 2006.
Jesus Christ.
Look how far away these are.
Wow. Y'all thought we were delaying this episode with a lot of banter. In reality, we just went from 0 to 17 murders in 5 seconds.
Yeah. And he also killed these three at the same time.
Was he holding like one knife with his feet? Like, how did he do that?
He killed Enoch Alicio Felix Zorella, Pedro Omar Carrera, and Luis Enrique Moran Cervantes with what was becoming his MO, 2 shots each, because he thought they were using their taxi to help assault people. So Seagull God perched right on his shoulder and was just like, do you see those 3 people in a taxi? They're assaulting people. They're committing crimes.
10 minutes earlier, somebody dropped their hot dog on the street. The seagulls swooped in to eat those hot dogs. Taxi turns around the corner, barely missing the seagulls. They immediately fly up on Pedro's shoulder, and they're just like, hey, bro, you saw that? You saw that? Attempted murder of a god. Go deal with them. Go deal with them. All of them. Every one of them. Okay, so Seagull God.
Right? Seagull God. Well, after he murdered all three of them, right? He then stole their taxi.
It's just him with the seagull with the seatbelt on next to him, just like fucking cruising down the street. The seagull has a little cabbie hat on. Oh my God, they're just flying in the wind. It's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and I want to extrapolate from this because, like, he's working at a mechanic shop, right? In Jorel at this time, like I said before.
Yeah.
And a few of these crimes, like, we didn't mention all of them, but a few of these crimes were done. Like, he murdered them, shot him in the head, his MO, his new MO, shot him in the head twice.
Yeah.
He then proceeded to either steal their bike or their car. He had done it a few times through his murders. So I wonder, and this is me extrapolating this, if he was also working the angle of some kind of chop shop at his mechanic area because he was stealing their car, bringing it back.
Siegel Automotive. Chip shop. I don't know, dude. I'm starting to think he's innocent. I'm starting to worry about these fucking seagulls.
I think his most telling murders, though, for his mission from God are his next and last few. So again, you know, as I said, he just killed three people at once.
Yeah.
Now he's going to kill two people at once.
Okay.
His 13th and 14th murders of Nazano Julian Temeres Perez and Didier Jesus Zapata Dulanto, he killed them because, in quote, I killed teachers Nazario Temes Perez and Didier Zapato Delante. They were walking along the edge of an irrigation canal holding hands. They were affectionate like a couple in love and like me. I am the purifier of the earth.
Okay.
There was no other option but to kill them because homosexuals only harm society. Well, and then after he killed him, he then proceeded to steal their shoes and $36 they had on them. They didn't have a car, so he had to get their mode of transportation.
He stole their shoes and then held their hands and was like, ha ha, I've stolen your affection too. This dude is fucking off his goddamn rocker. I mean, I know
he said it
from the start.
Yeah.
But like, and with a serial killer with the name like Mr. Clean, I'm expecting that, you know? Damn. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And this happened on December 18th in 2006. So, like, he's not that far from the other three people he just killed.
Yeah.
Like, this is 4 months and 16 people. Well, 6 months with 16 people.
As you're reading these dates, I feel like he's slowly approaching behind me right now, even though I'm looking in a camera and I can see behind me. You're just like, yeah. And then, you know, on May 8th, 2024, he was in Asheville, North Carolina, specifically. And just like, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, this is recent, too. This is why I wanted to do it, because it's more recent than the other
totally,
ones.
Yeah, totally,
totally. I mean, he's 2006. Well, Pedro said in his testimony, and this is heartbreaking, that one of the two teachers, the two people he just killed, just were begging on their knees, please don't kill me. And then he proceeded cruelly to put two bullets in each of their heads.
Jesus
just
Christ.
Like his MO.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, talking about the way he did, he killed the bulls, killed the cows. He didn't torture or kidnap or maim anybody, right? So he didn't do that. All he did was shoot them twice. He just said he was the cleaner, right? So he just had to get rid of them as quick as possible.
You know how they say, like, there's process killers and product, you know, killers? He was like a product killer, but like in the literal sense, like he stole products.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He's like, ha ha, I got your huffy. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, I took your bike.
It's like most product killers are like, I collect fingers. You know, like it's something like that. He's just like, nah, I just take the shit. Like, he's.
Yeah, it's like a commercial and he shoots them and then turns to the camera pan. Ha ha, I've got your. New
this
wallet.
Murder. This murder was brought to you by the new iPhone 15. Even when it gets dropped in the water during your murder, it still works. Camera's the same as the 14, though.
And actually, yeah, because he probably was just selling this stuff after he took it. Obviously, the cash, he was, you know, just taking it and kind of using it as a way to feed his family, I guess. I don't know. Well, as you can probably tell from the descriptions, that his MO was to shoot his victims in the head.
Double tap.
And his weapon of choice was a 9mm pistol, which honestly, that seems like something he would use and then would rob them.
This is a very rational MO. Like, I gotta say, like, out of all the serial killers we've covered, this is the most rational MO. First off, His gun actually makes fucking sense. That's a big one.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
You know, and not just that, but it is a gun and not just some random fucking weapon or just trying to strangle them and, you know, come yep. so fucking much that the police are convinced it's a gang of boys every time something happens, you know. Yeah. You know, like Joachim Kroll, shout out. But a 9mm, 2 shots to the head, very effective way to execute somebody. Known the world over is yeah. that. This makes sense. And then he steals shit. He's towing yeah. a weird line. It's taken me this long to think that.
And the big point I want to make too is these are not sexual crimes either. Mm. These are not like he's getting off on shooting them, which is like, you know, most serial killers, there's a point to where they're like, they get off on some of this stuff. And when we talked earlier about him taking pleasure in killing bulls and stuff like that, he did take pleasure, but I don't think it was a sexual pleasure. I don't think that came in with it.
He like literally just loves the moment of murder.
Yes.
Like straight up loves the moment of murder, and then loves that his love of the moment of murder generally provides quick transportation away.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, it seems he was like pretty out in the open with his crimes, kind of like when he was on the beach, he shot the person, right?
Yeah.
And he seemingly was able to get away with it for the 2 years that he was committing murder. You know, the 1 year in 4 months where he committed one murder, and then the 4 to 6 months where he committed the 16 other murders.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
this was because he used a rubber homemade silencer. And Gil, I want you to try to take a guess what the rubber was from.
Oh, fuck. Probably not condoms.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been late. A rubber silencer. I hope it was a rubber ducky. So just every time he shot his quack, just like, quack, quack. Just like, he's in the house. Quack, quack. Oh, God. Quack, quack. Just like, quack, quack. Why?
It was not. It was from a sandal. It was literally a chancla silencer.
Oh my God. Chancla silence is violence.
Well, let's get into the last of his crimes and what actually led to his arrest. It was on December 27th, 2006. Crazy that this is like literally not that far after his last murders.
His actual murder spree is ramping up here to whatever. How many months is this across?
So let's say it's six.
It's 6 months, honestly. So really, it was like a doom, 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 doom. Brrr. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he discovered Crocs. But anyways.
He moved real fast. He put him in sport mode, too.
Once he discovered he could use Chunkla Crocs.
He got way faster.
Wait a second.
On December 27, 2006, he killed Nicholas Tolentini Perezaca Gamboa. Was murdered with, Gil, can you guess how he was murdered?
The chunkless silencer.
Shot to the head, just like every other murder he had committed. He was really doing the John Wick style kill, I guess. After John Wick knocks him down, bam.
Yeah.
This would be his last murder because the very next day, they arrested him.
Because he was going literally to the dollar store every fucking day and buying 30 pairs of flip-flops. And they're just like, we keep finding flip-flops at every fucking murder scene with bullet holes in them. We thought he was just shooting their feet, but apparently the bullets are going the other way. We should go check the dollar stores and see if... And they're just like, we've been calling you for months about this guy that just keeps buying flip-flops every day. He comes in here, he's covered in blood, always has a different bike, always has a different car, like screamed at me about eating a watermelon on my lunch break. I don't even know how I got back in that room.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, the Specialized Personnel Division in the National Police of Peru had been investigating the murders between December 18th and December 27th of 2006. They had only been investigating him for 9 days. That's all it took to find him.
That, like, A, makes me concerned that he's not actually the killer. Like, honestly, that's my first thought is that he's not actually the killer. How many fucking murders happened before this that the police weren't investigating?
Yeah, no, and that's my thing is they weren't investigating this at all.
This is not a success story.
Until, No, until like, I guess this was probably 14th, 15th victim, which is a lot of victims, that they actually started investigating this guy.
His serial killer quinceanera. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, so I love that. The special unit used witnesses to draw a picture of Pedro, as well as clues at the crime scenes to pick up his trail. So,
okay.
Honestly, 9 days is so quick for any criminal trial, criminal investigation to pick up the person. So, yeah, it does make me think, in your point there, it does make me think that he's not the killer, but he is the killer because people pointed him out and was like, that guy's the killer, the witnesses of all the people that were murdered.
I don't know. He didn't kill that dog. So, you know, you got to wonder.
As he said,
you know,
that's true.
You know,
I mean,
if the flip flop don't fit, you have to acquit.
Guilty.
Gil Cochran over here. You know, maybe you could go down there and help him out. Well, they eventually found his place of work and they burst into the mechanic shop as he was working and arrested him. But Pedro did not go down without a fight. He shot one of the agents that was sent to arrest him, but he was eventually dragged down and cuffed.
Mm.
After his arrest, Pedro said that he was about to commit a massacre right before they did that. So this is December 28th, right? So this is December 28th, they're arresting him.
Yeah.
And the next 3 days later, December 31st, what's on December 31st? New Year's Eve.
Yes.
At midnight, he was going to throw a hand grenade into a discotheque located in downtown Orel and kill a bunch of, in quotation, sinners.
Rick, where'd you get a hand grenade?
Yeah, it makes me think, like, this guy was going from small time, right? Because he started, like, I'm killing one at first. I'm killing one. Then I'm killing two. Three. Two. And then he's like, well, if I can kill three at a time, why can't I kill, like, 15?
Yeah.
You know, hurt 15, go in there and kill them with the grenade
the
and
sooner,
stuff like that. So he's getting bigger.
The sooner people clear away from the New Year's Eve party, the sooner the seagulls can come in. This is making sense to me right now.
Exactly.
But like, this guy begs the question that he's not serial killer. You think like motive, you think, you know, a process and product, you know, you have those kind of things. This guy just seems like a fucking murderer.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't actually seem like an actual serial killer, which I know if it's multiple times, if it's a serial, you know, events, a serial set of events, then technically, you know, but this guy kind of just seems like a killer. Like, I feel like 1930s, 1940s, like Germany, he would have done really good.
He would have been a hero.
Yeah.
He would have been a hero over there. Yeah. Well, as he was being arrested, he actually asked for the death penalty, saying, I ask for a firing squad, something practical, like I did with those people. I shot them in the head. If I am free, I will continue with my cleanup mission.
This guy is literally following the golden rule to death. Also, that has to be like jerking off for him. This is... I don't hate this guy. Yeah. I hate what he's done. And I hate him. I hate him. But as like a character, I don't think he did it.
Yeah.
I think they found a crazy person. I don't believe the police were able to act on hunting down a serial killer in 9 days. Not just being able to identify the serial killer or get all the suspects, yada, yada, yada.
So this is 2000s.
That doesn't fucking matter in 9 days. And like outside of Lima.
Oh, in 9 days, yeah.
Outside of Lima, Peru. Lima's not tiny, dude. Like,
no,
so,
it's huge. Lima is a huge city.
Yeah, so like... In 9 days, they were able to hunt down the serial killer, narrow down their suspects. Not only that, but find the fucking place he was working.
Mm-hmm.
Set up a sting operation, because we have to look at it as that. That was a sting operation.
Oh, yeah.
So that just adds two or three more days to the planning, because he's going to be at work on Tuesday. We're going to go in, you know, just after lunch, so he's not super angry at us, you know, or whatever. But, like,
yeah, whatever they do.
You know, but, like, I don't know, dude. That's, I kind of feel like they might be pinning the town, like, crazy person, honestly.
Okay. Like, well, I hear you.
But that's just me.
I want to bring in. Yeah, and that's fine, you know? And I actually think that this guy did it, but you know, we can always have opposing views. Well, On his first night of being in lockup, he actually tried to kill himself by smashing his head against a wall. And throughout his time in jail, he continuously tried to kill himself, saying, "Since I am no longer fulfilling God's mission, they captured me. Now I keep hearing that the voice that tells me to kill myself." Seagull came in the window and was just
glass.
Like, "You're no longer useful to me. There's no food."
Yeah.
You know,
he can't
glass.
Pass his food.
There's no food.
The glass.
You can't feed me anymore.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
So kill yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was ended up being sentenced to 35 years in Laragancho prison, and eventually was moved to a mental health ward in the prison, where he is still actually alive and locked up today.
He needs help.
Yeah, he needs
100%.
Well, yeah. Now, I know you think this is nice and wrapped up for good now, huh?
No. Nope.
Pedro is in prison and the story ends. Well, actually,
the sequels are out there.
The story does not end.
Oh, fuck.
Do you remember how I said he wouldn't be the first person in his family to travel abroad? If you don't remember that from earlier in the episode, remember that Pedro changed his name to Nakata from Messiah because he wanted to go to Japan. His brother actually lived out that dream because he wanted to pretty much get away from the problems that his brother's murders and arrest had caused him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, yeah. So Veron Jonathan Nakata Ludinia moved to Japan in 2006 or 2007, around that time, right after his arrest, and he made it his home. He lived there for about 9-ish, 10 years.
Okay.
And was known as being very antisocial and didn't make many friends at all. And Gil, I know you're asking, why are you telling me about his brother? That's going to come clear very soon. Very, very soon.
Joey, why all the teasing? Why are you holding back like this? Also, I can't believe I didn't pick up on this earlier. He changed his name from including the word Messiah when he went on his God's telling me what to do killing spree.
Yep.
This dude was going undercover. Sorry, but I just...
Exactly. Agreed.
It was in your name. It was your destiny.
Yeah. It's so weird that he changed it to Nakata, which means rice paddy. In Japanese. Though, honestly, I would probably say it's hard to move to another country where you don't speak the language.
Yes.
Having to learn the language while you're working to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his brother, eventually, he just wanted to erase some of the demons, maybe put a bit of closure on his brother's book, right? So
yeah.
He went back to Peru to visit his brother in jail.
Oh.
Yeah, right? He just wanted to talk to him and be like, okay, like, why did you do this? What's going on? All this stuff. And as of now, and, you know, eight years from what's about to happen.
Oh.
As of now, nothing is known of the conversation or even how long it was between Jonathan and his brother Pedro.
Okay.
Because the year he returned back to Japan, in between September 14th and 16th, 2015, he broke into 3 homes in an attempt to steal money and valuables. He brutally murdered 6 people.
He introduced him to the fucking seagull.
Bro, what? Damn.
No history of violence in this country. No history of violence in Peru that has been made aware of. I mean, obviously, we talked about the abusiveness between the family, but there's no murders that we have been made aware of in between this part.
I'm going to say, like, you said it was 6 years in Japan? Is that right?
He was about eight, nine years.
You went from Peru to Japan and managed to pull off, at that point, creating a 100% a new fucking life.
Yeah.
In a country that you linguistically have no fucking reference for the culture, for the language.
Completely different.
That is quite literally the opposite side of the planet. I think geographically it is exactly the opposite side of the planet from where he went. Yeah, so like he had to have some very strong like semblance of like rationality, of sanity, of, you know what I'm saying? Like he had to have not just like street smarts but book smarts at the same time, and like you have to be a fairly fucking intelligent person to pull that shit off. Just like fucking showing up and then just being like, all right, starting a life here. And then it just fucking works. Like, that's also the exact same reason why, like, folks that, you know, immigrate or migrate, you know, like, to the United States, like, I have so much fucking respect for these folks.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Indian folks and, like, folks from, like, Latin America and stuff like that, where it's just, like, they're coming here, they're getting jobs, and they're just, like, struggling through learning the language. But honestly, way the fuck quicker than I would ever be able to fucking do that. Like, all this
100%.
That is so much fucking effort. And I just feel like if a seagull's telling you to kill people walking, you know, down parkways or murder folks for watermelon or steal people's huffies.
You just turn that out.
Like, I feel like, I don't feel like you would, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I feel like the kitchen pantry kind of like only has enough ingredients for one of those. You know what I'm saying? For one of those dishes. And the fact that he just like popped up and then immediately was like, bad boys now for life. Like, and just fucking like took off, seagull in the passenger seat, seatbelt on the seagull, little cabbie hat, like second fucking taxi to get taken out. His brother's just driving away from the jail. Like, this is nuts. Or they switched places.
Ooh. That just broke my brain.
You're welcome.
Well, wow. Well, as I said, he murdered six people brutally. A couple in their 50s, an 84-year-old woman, a 41-year-old woman,
okay,
and her two daughters who were 10 and 7 in their homes. He stabbed each one of them to death with a kitchen knife, which is not the MO of the other guy. So
this is weird.
Really crazy.
This is,
yeah, no, no, this, it,
this is real weird.
It doesn't make, like, to me, like when I found the, when I found Pedro, I was like, oh, this is,
he should have
really
been
interesting story.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know about his brother.
Yeah.
And as I was getting through the story of his like life, and I was like, okay, like reading through it, and then I freaking look and was like, holy shit, he has a brother that also murdered people. And I was like, this is a family affair, and not even in the same country. Went to a different country and murdered people. A country that is generally known to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, generally in Japan is a safe country.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I think I remember hearing about this in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing about that guy, the more I think about it, the more I like recall these little things about a guy who stabbed six people.
Was it a seagull telling you this? I'm just asking for a friend.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it was
okay,
a seagull.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
We don't, I don't live, you know, don't live near the beach, you know.
Yes.
There's probably not a seagull here around me telling me.
Probably not.
What? What? Oh, no, don't worry about me. You know, he's.
Yeah. No. Those toilet paper rolls fell over on their own.
So how did, okay, so this is the flip that I'm, this is the lazy eight infinity symbol that I'm seeing here, right, with these plots.
Mm-hmm.
You have the person who's completely cuckoo bananas, right, off their fucking rocker,
mm-hmm,
right? And they get, you know, God's talking to me, I'm the Messiah, which is why I'm removing the name Messiah from my name. And and like, yep, I'm going to bald gracefully. I'm going to become Mr. Clean. I made that part up, but the Mr. Clean part's true. Anyways, yeah. So this dude, he's cuckoo bananas, but he's killing people, yep, in a very like cold, calculating way.
Specific
to murder
way.
Folks. Like, yep, that's like straight up like, I am a professional hitman. This is how I do it. Like,
yeah,
that is a very, like,
he's not playing around.
His fucking silencers, mm-hmm, are fucking chanclas. Okay, first off,
mm-hmm,
they're everywhere. Second off, he didn't even need to pull the gun out. People would have been in fear. You know, like, he just had,
yep,
to pull up the fucking chancla, and people were tying,
yep,
their own arms behind their backs. So, like,
yep.
So he's over there. He just made fucking the chancla silencer. Somehow. Uh-huh. Gets caught within 9 days.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's like he's running on a racetrack and then all of a sudden steps into 16 inches of mud and is just like running slow through. So that part of the story doesn't make any fucking sense to me. That smells fishy. You know, uh-huh, not to attract the seagulls. So he gets caught, he gets into jail. His brother, who was essentially, besides the whole like, I'm going to participate in a gang rape of you because you murdered a pregnant dog.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming it was one of those brothers, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So, but narrative wise, he was a rational actor who was also a piece of shit at some point earlier in his life,
yeah,
right? And
for sure.
Well, I
for
mean,
sure,
permanently, but you know what I mean? What the fuck? And then he comes back and he murders stupidly? Like, I don't... Who does a butter knife? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't...
None of this makes sense. What makes it even crazier is he was so close to being arrested, right?
Uh-huh.
he was feeling it. He was like feeling the cops are closing around me. And in one of the houses that he broke into, he cut both of his wrists and then jumped from a second story window to try to kill himself. But he failed. He obviously lived.
Are we sure? Are we sure about the date that his brother came back from Japan?
Yes, it's not far. It's September 14th through the 16th is when he started breaking in homes, 2015. He came in that same year. Yes.
He came in that same year.
He came back to Japan in that same year.
He came back from Japan to Peru. There's no chance that the brother came from Japan to Peru during this uptick in killing sprees and all this bullshit, right? Dipped back out to Japan, came back and visited his brother. And his brother got pinned for shit. Because I'm going conspiracy. I know you're trying to get away from the moon shit, but like something's fishy here, and the seagulls are swarming.
He was still in Peru.
Okay.
While his brother was murdering these people. So your sense could be close. That's a great quote. I am picking up on what you're setting down here. He was in Peru, but he left right after his brother got arrested. So what you're thinking is like, that's such a great thing. And then, but he hid, my thing is like, would he hid away?
Yes, he literally went to Japan and started a new life.
No, and he didn't kill anybody.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know if murders took place in Japan, you know. Also, half the time, you know, he was probably just trying to translate shit in his own head so he could figure out if people were sinning. You know, like, Seagull spoke Japanese over there. So, like, that took a while. But, like, now I also am.
I don't think he could have gotten a gun over there as easily as he could have gotten one in Peru, I imagine.
Which is how he learned how to use knives. Which, knife killing is super common in countries where there's strict gun laws. Like, stabbings, knife killings, bottlings, right? Like, that shit's super common in countries where they have strict gun laws. That and crossbows, but that's just too comical to cover.
For sure.
But I want to look at this fucking timeline, bro. I want to see when the fuck did the brother dip out, go to Japan, learn a new fucking technique for murder eventually with fucking kitchen knives, right? Like, and maybe continue over there. Like, I'm very fucking curious about that because there's something that just doesn't seem right about his brother. His brother seems too fucking impressionable and not rational enough to carry out murders the way he was. Because that's like some very like,
specific.
I don't know, American killers, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like some very, you know, that's Samuel Jackson and fucking John Travolta in like Pulp Fiction, you know, as the fucking hitmen. Like, that's very like cold.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was very cold.
This dude is one step away from quite literally getting ideas from a seagull, you know, like, and but now I'm wondering, was his brother on the other side of the prison wall with a seagull puppet telling him what to do this whole fucking time? You know, like, I'm curious now, bro.
Well, his brother, the one, you know, Jonathan, was arrested and he tried to claim paranoid schizophrenia, just like his brother. But, and what's telling how recent this is,
okay,
in 2020, after rejecting that appeal to send him to a mental institution, a mental ward to be helped, he was given a life sentence to serve out the rest of his time in jail. So both of them are on life sentences to serve out their time in jail.
I don't know.
His brother is in Peru.
Yeah.
Pedro is in Peru serving a life sentence. Well, he's actually not even serving a life sentence. He's in a mental ward right now.
30-something years, right?
Yeah, but he's in a mental ward, though.
Yeah.
So now he can't be in Peru. The law states that because he because he's paranoid schizophrenia, he's legally insane, he cannot be held against him for his crimes.
Yeah.
So if he has ever said that he is okay, he can leave.
Yeah, we learned that with Pedro Alonso Lopez, like 100%. But
yeah,
like,
it's the same fucking thing.
But
yeah,
I do.
But he's not going to get out of jail. They're not going to get rid of him. They're not going to take him out of the mental ward.
He'll just be taken into custody the second he crosses the border. But no. I do agree with that approach to let me rephrase that. I agree with that direction in rehabilitation. Let me phrase it that way.
I'm not saying that I agree with the current outcome and yada, yada, yada. But in terms of like what we should work towards as a society. Dude's clearly fucking crazy. Like, he's clearly insane. 100%. And he clearly was not, you know, raised in a situation where he had access to or, you know, any type of encouragement to seek support, seek help, to find proper medications, you know, whatever cocktail of psychotropic meds that he needed in order to, you know, coast through the world and like have a good life, yada, yada. Not in a situation for that. And this is a very strong societal slap in the face to be like, we're going to work on finding that for you because that wasn't your fault. I'm throwing it back to the brother conspiracy. I really think heat was on him and he had his brother fucking take the fall. I 100% fucking believe that. And then when he got arrested, he's like, well, it worked for my brother. This is my chance to get out in 30 years. And like a mental, you know, like a psychiatric institution is going to be way more chill than a prison in Peru.
Oh, yes.
Or prison fucking anywhere when you're only up for murder.
For sure.
You know? So like he was like, oh yeah, no, just like my brother. Yes, I'm just like that. That's why da-da-da-da. But like, I don't know, man.
I like it. Well, and so ends the tale of the two brothers of Peru, both cut from the same cloth and ended up in the same way, just on complete other sides of the world. One can wonder what would happen if Pedro had actually gone to Japan instead of his brother. Maybe more of the same, or maybe he would have sought out help. Who really knows? But all I can say is that if they thought they could be cleaners of everything that in what they called wrong in this world, that maybe they should have looked a little deeper inside of themselves and cleaned that out first.
Mm.
Thank you for listening. And
go to therapy.
If you have those kind of thoughts, please go to therapy.
Especially if you don't. Pedro didn't even know that he was having those thoughts. He just thought that ship's number. Anyways, we love you all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Black Cat Report in episode 97, The Apostle of Death. This weekend, we'll be heading out to camp for a special episode being released soon. Can't wait for you to hear it. If you haven't, please follow us on Instagram or Facebook or even TikTok. That's where you can find the most up-to-date news for BCR. See you on the other side.